This morning I want to talk to you something the Lord put upon my heart. I want to talk to you about let there be no strife between us. Let there be no strife between us. Go with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, and we are going to start with verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife with all that he had, and Lot with him in the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." And I just want everybody to know that in verse 4 it says, "And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray, between me and between you, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the sand of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it to thee, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. And God, truly the desire of our heart is that you be honored in our lives. Lord, the whole focus of this passage is about living a life that brings honor to the Lord. And Father, just listening to the songs this morning, we've sang some songs about honoring the Lord. This is my desire, Lord, to honor you. And Father, you're going to speak to us out of your word. And I just pray that you would just give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, we do give you all glory and honor for what you're doing within our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, we see the Lord begins to speak to a man named Abram. Abram is from a land, from a region called Mesopotamia, and he's from the city of Ur. And Jewish history tells us that Mesopotamia was a land that was steeped in idolatry. It was given over to idol worship. The town, the city that Abram was from is called Ur. We know that from Acts chapter 7. And Jewish history says itself that that was a city that had a famous temple that was built there. And people from all over Mesopotamia came to worship at this temple. So looking at this, we understand that it's very, very probable that Abram was an idolater. Abram was an idol worshiper. And I truly believe with all my heart that one of the reasons why God called a man and began to lead a man who was steeped in a place that was so full of idol worship is because the Lord wanted to show the world what he could do in a man's life, in a woman's life, looking at Sarai. The Lord wanted to show the world that he could take someone who absolutely knew nothing about God and transform him and make him into a great man of faith. The Bible tells us that after God called Abram, somewhere in Abram's obedience to leaving a land and going to a land that God would show him, somewhere in his course of obedience to the Lord, there came a desire in his heart to know this God that had called him. The Bible says four times in Genesis that Abram called upon the name of the Lord. In other words, there came a desire in Abram's heart to seek the face of God. There came a desire in this man's heart to seek after the Lord. There was a resolve in his heart that he was going to be a man who seeks God. And what I see looking at this very clearly, this man who desires to seek God, what we see so clearly in Abram's life is that out of the place of seeking the Lord, he begins to take on God's heart. And this is what always happens when people begin to seek after the Lord. We begin to take on the Lord's heart. The evidence that God is truly opening up the eyes of our heart and causing us to see Him, the evidence of that is we are becoming Christ-like. We are changing. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." According to this scripture, the ultimate evidence that God is truly opening up our hearts to see Him is that we are changing and that we are becoming Christ-like. Having the heart of Christ, one of the ways that we change is in the way that we see and do things. In certain situations, we don't respond the way the world responds because Christ's heart and nature is being formed within us, which leads us to Genesis chapter 13. Again, Genesis chapter 13, verse 4 tells us, "And Abram began to call upon the Lord." Abram called upon the Lord. So we see that he was a seeker of God. And then the right after that, the scriptures that follow, what we find is there's a strife in two camps, between Abraham's camp and a strife in Lot's camp. There's a strife between these two men's camps about the cattle and the sheep. But in this story, what we see clearly is Abraham's heart. Abram had a heart to honor the Lord. He wanted to honor the Lord here. Now look with me at verse 7. Genesis 13, verse 7 says, "And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land." The Bible tells us, again in verse 7, the strife breaks out between these two camps. "And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled in the land." And I truly believe that this phrase, "the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelling in the land," I truly believe that is the key to this whole passage of Scripture. See, who are the Canaanites? The Canaanites are simply those who are outside of the covenant of God. They're the ones who are not walking in covenant with God. Also, the Canaanites represent the enemies of God, those who have made themselves enemies of the Lord. We find out later that Joshua would drive the Canaanites out of the land. So my point is simply this. My point is Abraham knew that this situation was more than about two camps quarreling with one another. He knew it was about the Lord's honor. The eyes of the Canaanites were upon them. The eyes of the world were watching them. And Abraham wanted to honor the Lord. It was as if Abram was saying, "Lot, we're brothers and the eyes of the Canaanites are upon us. Let's honor the Lord in this. If you go to the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left. But let's not allow the spirit of strife to operate here." That's what Abram's saying. See, even though the New Testament hadn't been written yet, the God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament. He doesn't change. He's the same God. And because Abram has set his heart to seek the Lord, God is beginning to write something upon Abram's heart. And that's simply this. "By this shall all men know that you belong to me, that you love one another." Understand, Abram knew something. He knew that nothing brings a greater reproach to the Lord than when God's people argue and quarrel among one another. Brothers and sisters, it is a reproach to the Lord when God's people can't get along with one another. It is a reproach to the Lord's name when God's people cannot walk in love and walk in unity with one another. See, brothers and sisters, our whole Christian testimony is wrapped up in one statement, and that is simply this. Jesus said, "As I have loved you, love one another." And brothers and sisters, when we are not walking in that, we lose our testimony to the world. When we are no longer walking in that way with one another, our lives are no longer bringing honor and glory to the Lord. It doesn't matter what service we're in, what ministry we're in. When we're no longer walking in that truth, our lives are no longer bringing honor and glory to the Lord. And Abraham understood that. Abraham chose to honor the Lord. And looking at the life of Abraham, when we choose to honor the Lord by loving and preferring others above ourselves, what is God's wonderful faithfulness to that heart? Well, look with me again at Genesis chapter 13. Now, I believe the Lord really wants to minister to somebody here. I really felt the Lord's heart when I looked at this. Like Abraham, when we choose to honor the Lord by loving and preferring others above ourselves, what is God's wonderful faithfulness to that heart? Look at Genesis 13. Look at verse 14 through 17. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it thee and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. So after choosing to honor the Lord, God comes to Abram with an assurance. And that assurance is this, that God is going to be faithful to his covenant promises with Abram. God tells Abram, he says, one day, Abram, your seed will inherit this land. And thinking about this, this is what I couldn't help but think about. Sometimes in our lives, we see areas in our lives where it seems like the enemy still has ground. We see areas in our lives that we still feel barren. We see areas in our lives that we feel like the enemy is still dominating us in. But here the Lord says something that's very powerful. He says, if you'll just choose to honor me, the Lord says, if you'll just choose to honor me, these places where it looks like the enemy still has ground, the Lord says, you will see victory in these areas. The Lord says, as you just choose to walk with me and honor me in your life, you're going to see my power break through these areas in your heart and in your life. As you just choose to love me and walk with me and bring honor to me, those places that you feel like you're defeated in, you're going to see my faithfulness and my covenant power break through in these areas in your life. The Lord is saying here, to that heart that desires to honor God, though the enemy may still be dominating in certain areas of our hearts, God will not come with a voice of condemnation and displeasure, but he will come with a voice of comfort, assuring our hearts that if we will just continue to walk with him, we will see victory in that area in our lives. I just feel like the Lord wants to minister to somebody with this. I believe probably there's someone here and there's certain areas in our hearts, and we look at these areas in our hearts and we're just feeling frustrated. We're feeling like we're not changing in these areas. We're feeling like we're not getting the victory in these areas. And when you really love the Lord, it can be so frustrating and sometimes it can be so despairing. But the Lord wants to minister to your heart this morning. He wants to tell you that if you'll just continue to love him and honor him with your lives, you're going to see victory in these areas of your life. You're going to see his covenant power. You're going to see his power break through and bring change and transformation in these areas of our lives. God will be faithful to his covenant promises, and his covenant will be glorified in these areas of our heart. Very powerful truth there. God's not looking at you with a frown and displeasure. I don't know what you're struggling with, but he's not looking at you with a frown of displeasure. This morning, he's telling you in mercy and love and in compassion, if you'll just continue just to honor me and walk in a way that brings glory to me, my covenant power will break through in these areas of your life, and you will see the changes and the transformation you're looking for. Just honor me. Just continue to honor me. I felt that was very comforting to me this morning. The whole time we were worshiping the Lord, that was the one thing that was on my heart, because there's an area in my own heart I've been asking and asking and asking the Lord just to change and bring a transformation. And the Lord just so ministered to my heart this morning as we were worshiping. Tim, just walk with me. Just keep choosing to honor me. And you're going to see the breakthrough in your life. You're going to see the ground taken in your heart by the kingdom of God. Now let's just ask a question. Why does the Lord want the hearts of His people bound together with cords of love? Well, there's a few answers that we can give. We can say because God is love, He wants His people to exemplify His character. The Lord wants our lives to bring honor and glory to Him. But I just want to take my answer out of verse 7. Look with me again at Genesis chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled in the land." So verse 7 says that there was a strife between these two camps. And brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand this morning is simply this. Strife is a very dangerous spirit. It's a very dangerous spirit. Now I want you to go with me to the book of James. Put your marker in Genesis 13 because we're going to come back to that. Now I want you to go with me to the book of James chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And what I want to look at is that word strife. Here the writer says, where there is strife, there is every evil work. And there's something that the Lord truly ministered to my heart out of that. Something about strife the Lord showed me, and that's simply this. Strife is the devil's anointing. Strife is the devil's anointing because wherever he can conjure up an atmosphere of strife, there follows every evil work. Brothers and sisters, before there ever was a divorce in the home, strife got there first. Before there ever was a church split, strife got there first. That when there's a spirit of strife and it's not dealt with, when there is an atmosphere of strife and it is not smitten with a death blow, a spirit of strife will always bring with it every evil work. It's a very dangerous spirit, this strifeful spirit. So let's just ask a question. Well, then how do we kill the spirit of strife? When strife begins to be conjured up in the atmosphere and strife begins to rise up in our hearts, how do we smite that spirit of strife? Because, brothers and sisters, if it's not dealt with, it will bring with it every evil work. So how do we smite, how do we kill the spirit of strife? Well, go with me to Romans chapter 12. I just want to look at this. Verse 10. It says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." How do we kill the spirit of strife? By loving and preferring others above ourselves, which is exactly what Abraham did. Now, swing with me right back to Genesis 13. I want to look at this. Genesis chapter 13. This is what Abraham did. He preferred his brother above himself. And he put a death blow to the spirit of strife. Genesis chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 said, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." So Abram sees this spirit of strife, this atmosphere of strife, and Abram says to Lot, he says, "You know what? We're brothers here. We're brothers here." And he said, "Let there be no strife between us. If you want to go to the left, choose the land all to the left, then I'll go to the right. If you want to choose the land to the right, then I'll go to the left. But let there be no strife here because we're brothers." So in other words, what Abraham did was he chose to honor the Lord. That's what this whole scripture is about. It's not about his rights. See, the only reason why Lot had anything is because he's walking with Abraham. It seemed like if anybody had a right to demand their choice first, it would have been Abraham. But what did Abraham do? No, he chose to honor the Lord. So he said, "Lot, if you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. But I'm going to prefer you above myself so we can put a death blow to this spirit of strife." Now, brothers and sisters, what I want to say here, I believe one of the biggest ways of preferring our brothers above ourselves is simply to go to them when we have wronged them. I believe that is one of the biggest ways that we can humble ourselves and that we can prefer our brothers and sisters above ourselves. Simply that when we know in our hearts that we have wronged our brother, we have wronged our sister, Preferring someone above ourselves is simply humbling ourselves and going to them and saying, you're my brother in the Lord. You're my sister in the Lord. And I love you and I ask you to forgive me. I don't want anything between us, and I want my life to honor the Lord. Please forgive me. I believe that is the greatest way to smite the spirit of strife. I believe it is probably the biggest way that we can prefer and honor one another above ourselves. Instead of being lifted up with pride, humbling ourselves and saying, you know what, I was in the wrong here. And I don't want anything between us. And I want to honor God. Because I know once I'm not walking in love and harboring something in my heart, my life is no longer a testimony to the Lord. My life is no longer bringing honor and glory to the Lord. And more than anything, I want my life to honor the Lord. So because I know I'm in the wrong, I truly ask that you would forgive me. And I truly ask that we would be brothers and sisters. And I truly ask there would be nothing in our hearts one with another. Because I want a life that honors the Lord. Question. Where does strife come from? Where does strife come from? Two answers. First of all, comes from pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. So strife is birthed out of pride. Understand, pride brings strife because pride can't let go of a grudge. Pride brings strife because pride can't let go of its resentment. Pride refuses to admit when it's wrong. Pride always justifies its wrongful actions. Pride can't seek forgiveness when it has wronged someone else. That's where strife comes from. It comes out of a spirit of pride. But brothers and sisters, the good news is there's a greater power in us than the pride of the heart, and that's called the grace of God. And by the grace of God, we can humble ourselves. By the grace of God, we can go to that person that we know in our heart that we have wronged. By the grace of God, we can love people more than we love ourselves. You know what pride is? Pride is self-love. Pride is simply loving yourself more than loving others. But because we have the grace of God in our heart, we can love people more than we can love the pride in our own hearts. We can go to people. We can right our wrongs. Not because we have to, but because there's something in us that says, I love God. And I love my brother and sister. And I want my life to honor the Lord. Please, please forgive me. Where does this strife come from? It not only comes from pride, but it comes from anger. Proverbs 29 verse 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife. Brothers and sisters, if there is strife in our lives, it is because somewhere there is bitterness in our heart. If there is strife in our lives, it's because we are in bitterness. There's a bitterness in our heart. But the good news is if we would just recognize strife and understand that there's a bitterness in our heart, we can give our bitterness over to the Lord. And the Lord will come and He will heal our hearts. The Lord will come and He will begin to do a work in our hearts. We don't have to be a victim to bitterness. We don't have to live in wrath and rage and strife. There is a healing balm in Christ. And God longs to fill our hearts with that healing balm. When we take our bitterness to the Lord, don't justify it. Say, God, it's here, and I give it to you. When you do that with a sincere heart, I always say this, but it's so true. Sometimes I think we underestimate the power of repentance. When we really repent before the Lord, there is such a grace, such a power that's released in our lives that can absolutely change our hearts when it's done in sincerity. So where does strife come from? It comes from pride. And it comes from anger. And brothers and sisters, we see this in our heart. We really need to allow the Lord to deal with it because, again, if it's not dealt with, it brings with it every evil work. Understand, the opposite of strife and discord is love and unity. Now, I want to turn to a familiar passage of Scripture that a lot of us know, but I want to look at it in another light, something that the Lord just put on my heart. I want you to go with me to Psalm 133. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So David here is talking about unity, and he's talking about the power of unity. He says that unity, when brethren dwell together in unity, it's like precious ointment upon the head. And oil always symbolizes life. Oil always symbolizes blessing. Oil symbolizes anointing, spiritual power, and authority. And this is what the Lord strongly, when I was reading this, this is what the Lord really strongly put upon my heart when I was reading the scripture. Life and anointing come out of unity. And true unity comes with obeying God's order. True unity comes with walking in God's order. Today in our Christian world that we're living in, we hear so much teaching and preaching on spiritual warfare and waging spiritual warfare and defeating the enemy. We hear so much talk about walking in authority of Christ and living in victory over the enemy. But yet so many believers are not walking in God's order. They're not walking in God's divine order. Now, so we're asking, okay, well, what do you mean by order? What is this order we're talking about? What order is the Lord talking about this morning? Well, go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through verse 23. Verse 18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit for the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ." So, brothers and sisters, here is God's order. And if you look at this, it has a lot to do with the home, the order of the home. Brothers and sisters, when we're truly walking, we're going to go through this in a minute, but when you're truly walking in God's order and in submission and obedience to order, that's where there's true unity. That's where there's life. That's where there's anointing. That's where there's God's presence. That's where we have victory over the enemies. That's where we smite the spirit of strife and walk in the blessings of God. But yet when we're not walking in God's order, that's where the spirit of strife comes in, and that's where he begins to do every evil work. So this is God's order. This is the order that brings unity in the home, in our church, in our hearts. This is the order. Now in verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit to the Lord." In other words, the husband is appointed by the Lord to be head over the home, and their wife is to respect that. She's not to be controlling. She's not to be domineering. If her husband makes a decision and he says, "This is the decision that I feel in my heart the Lord would have us to make," she's not to get angry and try to override his decision. She is to honor and respect his decision. See, if he's a man after God's own heart, he will pray with his wife and seek the face of the Lord with his wife, because he knows his wife has godly wisdom. God speaks to her heart, and they'll pray together. And then when he makes a decision, the Bible says that the wife needs to respect his decision. She's to honor him. She's to submit to him. This is God's order. Some of you are looking at me kind of hard on that one. I know what God has told me to tell you this morning, and I'm not going to apologize for it. You're to respect your husband and submit to your husband. That's God's order. And a lot of times that's where the spirit of strife comes into the home, because we do not submit to the order of the Lord here. Verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Verse 19. In other words, the Lord is saying that we are to love our wife in sincerity. We're not to treat her with a bitter spirit, but we're to be kind, we're to be gentle, we're to be tender, we're going to be caring. We're not to be abusive toward her in our behavior and in our words, but we're to treat her with honor and respect. We're not just to be nice to her in public and then treat her like dirt in private. A bitter spirit will make your wife's life hell on earth. It's the order of God. We're to love our wives and be tender and compassionate and caring towards our wives. And you know what? The Lord, by the grace of God, we can do this. We can't keep the order of the Lord here. Verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." In other words, what I've truly felt the Lord speaking to my heart is simply this. We need to honor our parents. We need to treat our parents with respect. Yes, but they may not have been the perfect parents, but we need to honor them in our behavior and in our speech and in our conversation. As long as it's not violating the Word of God, we need to be obedient to our parents. This is God's order. You understand that? The order of the Lord. They may not have been the greatest parents in the world, but the Lord doesn't want us going out telling everybody how lousy our parents have been or how abusive they have been. And I'm not talking about sharing and counseling and things like that. I'm talking about just being disrespectful to your parents. That's what I'm talking about. This is God's order. Verse 21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." In other words, we need to love and be an encouragement to our children. As a parent, we correct them when they need correcting, but it's just as important to praise them and shower them with encouragement. In verse 22, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God." Now, Paul is not endorsing slavery here. He's simply addressing slaves who are saved, but their masters are not saved. That's what he's addressing. He's saying, be obedient and live with them in peace as much as possible. But looking at this, I can see that we can apply this to the workplace. The Lord is saying, honor your boss. Obey your boss. And work as if you're working unto the Lord. Don't look for shortcuts. If they pay you for a good day's work, then give them a good day's work. Don't be lazy and look for ways to cheat and get by. Be a testimony of the Lord on your job. This is the Lord's order. Brothers and sisters, when we walk in this order, then we are truly walking in unity one with another. And the Bible says out of that place of unity, there will be life, there will be anointing, there will be spiritual authority, there will be blessing. But when we're not walking in the order of God, that's when the spirit of strife begins to come in, and that's when every evil work begins to come in and tear everything up. Tear our ministries up. Tear our homes up. Tear our families up. Because we're not walking in the order of the Lord. Now, here's just how I feel led to end this message this morning. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. It says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided itself against itself shall not stand." So here Jesus says something very powerful. He says, every house divided against itself will not stand. Now we have to understand something. The enemy understands this. Devil understands that a house divided itself will not stand. That house will crumble and fall. So what this tells me is the devil is looking for every opportunity he can to come in and bring strife and discord. I truly believe the biggest strategy of the enemy to steal life and the presence of God and the anointing of God out of our hearts, out of our homes, and out of our church is to bring discord. He seeks passionately, fervently for opportunities to bring discord and strife. So this is my thought. This is what I truly believe the Lord's telling us because it's something that He told me, something the Lord taught me. As Christians, we have to purposely be on guard for this. We have to purposely be watchful for this. When we see discord rising up, when we see strife beginning to an atmosphere of strife, we have to know in our hearts, this is the enemy at work here. We have to purpose in our hearts to be watchful. And then as we purpose in our hearts to be watchful, the Lord taught me something. Tim, you have to fight for unity. You have to strive and endeavor for unity. Because the enemy's always going to try to bring offenses and he's always going to try to bring some kind of discord. And you have to fight for it. How do you fight for unity? Simply this. How do you purpose in your hearts and endeavor for unity? Simply this. It has everything to do with walking humbly before each other. Keeping the spirit of strife out has everything to do with humbling ourselves. When we have wronged someone, I'm just going back to what I said, humbling ourselves when we wrong someone and saying, you know what, I was wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And fighting for unity has everything to do with not harboring grudges. When somebody truly comes to you and said, I was wrong, it has everything to do with forgiving them. When you forgive someone, you put the grudge away. You understand that? You say, I'm not going to harbor a grudge in my heart against my brother and sister. I'm truly going to forgive them. We have to walk in humility. We have to walk in forgiveness. We have to walk in long-suffering. We have to walk in great patience with each other. When we've wronged someone, we have to genuinely repent and ask to be forgiven. And when someone has wronged us, we have to forgive. I don't know why the Lord put this on my heart. It's just as I was reading this, it just came so alive. And I believe right now, this morning, the Lord wants to smite the spirit of strife. I truly believe there's probably people in this congregation today, an offense has come into your heart and you're holding it. And you're holding that grudge in your heart. And the Lord says, as I forgave you, you need to forgive. If you need to go to a brother and sister by yourself, one-on-one, and make it right, we need to do this. Brothers and sisters, we need to smite this spirit of strife. Because I'm telling you, if it's not put a death blow to, it will allow every evil work. In other words, something's going to come in and start tearing everything up. Brothers and sisters, we need to choose to honor the Lord like Abraham. We need to choose to love our brothers and sisters and prefer them above ourselves. And go to them if we've wronged them and ask forgiveness, or forgive if someone asks us to forgive. Brothers and sisters, you need to understand again. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have loved one for another. And when we're not walking in that, we lose our testimony with the world. Our lives are no longer honoring to the Lord. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Then love your brother and sister with all your heart. And forgive if you need to forgive. Stand with me this morning. Just bow your heads a moment. Brothers and sisters, think about it a moment. True unity comes with walking in God's order. Are we walking in God's order? Wives, have you submitted yourself to your husband? Husbands, are you loving your wife with the love of Christ like Christ loved the church? Or is there just a bitterness in your spirit? Are we honoring our parents? Some of us may have come from bad homes. But God says we still need to honor them. We need to honor them with our behavior. We need to honor them with our words, with our conversation. We need to show them respect. Amen. Let me say that again. We need to show them respect. We need to be an encouragement to our children. And we need to honor our boss. If they're paying you for a good day's work, are you giving them a good day's work? Are we looking for shortcuts and just ways to get by? Are we walking in God's order? True unity has everything to do with walking in God's order. But when we're walking in God's order, there is where there's life. There's a blessing. There's the presence of the Lord. There's authority. There's anointing in that. Just think about it a moment. Are you harboring a grudge with someone in your heart, maybe here, or another brother and sister in the Lord? Would you rather honor God instead of harbor your grudge? Would you rather your life honor the Lord instead of harbor your grudge? Brothers and sisters, I just want my life to honor God. And that means I want to walk in unity with my brothers and sisters. So this morning, this is my altar call. Maybe someone can say, I haven't been walking in God's order like I should. I haven't respected my husband and walked in submission to him like the Word of God instructs me to. I have been very harsh toward my wife. I haven't honored my parents with my words and my behavior in the way that I know I should. I haven't honored my boss the way that I should. I haven't been giving him or her 100%. Maybe there's someone here who could say, I have someone I need to make things right with. I need to ask forgiveness because I've wronged them. I want to love them with the love of Christ. In doing so, I want to honor the Lord. I believe there is someone here this morning frustrated and distressed because there's an area in your heart where it seems like you just haven't acquired the victory. But you love the Lord and you've purposed in your heart to honor Him. God wants to comfort your heart in this altar this morning and let you know what? Just keep honoring me. And you're going to see victory in this area of your life. And I believe there are others here who would say, you know what? God spoke to me out of this message, and I just really want to bring my heart before the Lord and say, Lord, strengthen my love walk. Grow me in my love walk with people. I want to walk in this place where I don't harbor strife and hold grudges in my life. I want to forgive them as Christ has forgiven me. If that's you this morning, and you just need to come to the altar and talk to the Lord, I want you to come now. And let's just put a knife to this spirit of strife. Let's get in God's order. Walk in God's order. Let's purpose to want to honor the Lord more than hold our grudges. Let's allow Christ to be exalted in our life. Now, whatever you're here for, just talk to the Lord. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to receive His comfort, receive His comfort. But let the Lord just minister your heart now. Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. God, we thank You that Your love is unfailing. God, we thank You for the comfort of Your love. God, I just ask this morning that every heart would just go out of here blessed. God, I just ask that You would come and begin to remove all the any heaviness, any oppression, any condemnation. I just pray that You would just come and begin to lift it off of hearts. And that, God, You would just comfort every heart, God. Lord, I pray that You would put such an assurance of every heart, God, that You so love that person. God, You so love that person. God, they are pleasing to You, God. God, let them just walk out of here this morning comforted by the Spirit of God, comforted in this truth, God, that You love them and that, God, You are doing an awesome, good work in their heart. Now, Father, we give You honor and glory, and we thank You for Your faithfulness, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.